You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Monday of a historic week. Good morning to you. Hope you're having a good morning, wherever you be, or wherever you is, whichever you prefer. Welcome to our house. Historic week. Grant Newsham's going to join us this morning. We'll see if he'll join us tomorrow morning and maybe Wednesday morning as well for a little bit anyway to give his thoughts on. The world watches as, North Korea has been angling for this moment for 70 years almost, right? Maybe not quite 70, but since the end of the Korean War, their strategy initially was to create a conventional alternative that would rival a nuclear strike on Seoul. And Seoul's proximity to the DMZ has always been a liability to the South Koreans because it put their capital within striking distance of conventional weapons. So always been problematic, that Korean Peninsula. And so that's what they did. They developed a conventional alternative that would rival a nuclear alternative. And they implemented that. And then they began to develop nuclear weapons. And now we sit at a point in our history when they do have nuclear weapons, and they're working on the technology that you need to master in order to launch one and get it to come down in with a nuclear tip warhead and hit what you aim to hit. So all of that, though, in their own eyes, I would think, to do two things. One, to guarantee the ongoing dictatorship, which is important when you're a dictator. As the Hussein family, probably wasn't a good idea to tweak their nose at the Americans. Letting in the UN chemical weapons inspectors probably still would be in power today. So, maintaining the dictatorship is critical. So for Mr. Kim, the line that you walk with the United States, because the new president of the United States doesn't seem to be as easily rolled as past presidents. He seems to be surrounded by guys with a hard edge. I would call them pragmatists. They look at the world as it is, not through the lens of the hummingbird. That's right. So, the yoga people, those people, you know, and to that end, it's a historic week coming up, so we'll talk about it. It's also, last weekend was historic as well, as the economic world order is being shaken by a few things. One, the Chinese, certainly, right? But two, the United States is looking, and so it's interesting. So it's an interesting little situation that the United States, post-World War II, has come to be in and allowed itself to be in, right? Negotiated itself into. One, it's the world's policeman. And now we push back on that. But it is what it is, as Dennis Green infamously, they thought they were who we thought they were, infamously said. So that's who we are. We are the world's policemen. We allowed ourselves to become that. And so, so it's interesting. So the rest of the world has got used to that, right? We don't have to provide for our own defense. The Americans do that. I mean, come on, are you crazy? Why would we waste our GDP? Why would we waste our GDP when we don't have to? The Americans swing the big hammer. Everybody knows that. You know? And when we haven't spent, they've made a statement or two, but they get over it pretty quickly. It's just for public play. It's not substantive. And if we don't have to spend on defense, guess what we can use that money for? Social programs, infrastructure, we can make Germany better. Yeah, screw defense. So we've allowed that to happen. And then most interestingly, so that's part of the world order. Most interesting is the economic world order. When you look at, it seems to me, how do you run these trade deficits and then have their products coming in and creating this incredible to the world's greatest economy, which is that of the United States, okay, by multiples. Okay, so China's got a lot of people, we got a lot of buying power, okay? So the American economy just devours stuff, okay? So we've created a situation where we consume an incredible amount of world goods, and yet we're barred from our goods entering those same markets. And it's gone on for decades, and we've been content with that. Why is that? So is that the responsibility of being a global leader, that you're responsible for helping these countries maintain their economies? And that's why, for instance, that's why, as the president tweeted, the Canadians can have a 260% tariff on American dairy products. Okay, well, we get that. That's okay. We've negotiated that away. And then you have the free traders out there. I mean, go around and look at it. You know, Is it free? Is it based on something that's equitable? It doesn't look like that to me. So when I sit down to negotiate these things, and I look at what's going to happen to the American worker, at some point, don't I have to reconcile that? Or do I just keep saying, we believe in globalization, we believe... And so what happens to the non-college... what happens to the high school graduate in the United States over time? They can't work? I mean, look, if you're a driver, there's technology coming for your job. You know, when we talk about factories, you know, it isn't the picture of Rosie the Riveter in there with a whole bunch of people. It is, those are robots now. And it is people tending to the software and repair of robots. The supervision of robots in the assembly line and the production schedule. So is that the role of an economic superpower now? And that's how we create stabilization. And so when the President of the United States goes and says, hey, we want more equitable trade, they look and they're like, what do you mean? We've done this forever. And if I allow that, then guess what? There's going to be Canadian workers that suffer. I can't have that. There's going to be German workers that suffer. She can't have that. There's going to be French car companies that get compromised by American competitors once those tariffs come down. So you get these things in sound bites, and that to me was really interesting. The whole G7 thing. What is, you know, and again, you have to get out and you have to do the footnotes, right? You have to do the footnotes. So what footnotes go with that little summit? Is the president, is my conception that when you look at the United States running trade deficit after trade deficit after trade deficit after trade deficit, that's all based on fair trade, equal access? Or is that something that we've done to help stabilize governments and we give them, you know, good deals for whatever reason? And at the expense of, in my opinion, the American worker. The American worker. And so, and the American middle class, again, is shrinking. It is shrinking. And so I think it's very interesting. I think, you know, the G7 thing is extremely interesting because the president didn't go there and not do what he said he wanted. I want reciprocal trade agreements. I want American manufacturers and producers to have the same kind of access to your country that you have to ours. So I thought that was pretty interesting over the course of the weekend. And then obviously, the opportunity for Justin Trudeau now to take world stage is something that only Donald Trump can provide to him. So whatever their little disagreement was, it makes Justin Trudeau, right, something that he wasn't a week ago. Right, most of the world, who? Pierre Trudeau? Oh, he's got a kid? He's in charge of Canada? Didn't know that. So, but there's substance of issues underneath it. And that is how the United States interacts with partners around the world. Is it, you know, and this whole notion of globalization. We're just one free, happy country. And so to me, I don't know. It's like, I didn't get in trouble. I was doing a radio show, and I talked about it last week, I think. And the venue of a trial got moved. If you recall, there's a girl who was the trial that got moved was a prison guard had strangled a young woman. And they had moved that to the city that I was doing my radio show in, that I lived in, city of about 70-something thousand people, on the North Dakota-Minnesota border, MacTalk, right? So there had been a series of these kind of crimes. One, which I think got national publicity, the girl's name was Drew Shadeen. And she was followed by a four-time violent offender by the name of Alfonso Rodriguez out of the mall where she worked, out of Victoria's Secret. She was on her phone, not paying attention, something that Mike talks about when he talks about self-defense. And she opened her car door, and he stuffed her in her car, duct-taped her mouth, drove her to a remote place, raped her. And then it was in the winter, stuffed her body under the ice of a river. They ultimately found her and found him, blah, 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 blah. So he was awaiting trial. And he had never participated in an offender treatment program. He went to prison, and when it was his time, he got out because he had served his time, right? So, and then he would do it again, each time getting progressively more violent till he murdered her. So now this other event happens in Jamestown, North Dakota. That trial gets moved to my city. Prison guard strangles a young girl who he was having sex with. So, I don't know if you recall it, but there was a case in Connecticut where two guys busted into a house. There was two daughters, a wife, and a doctor. They raped the three women, and they set the house on fire. One of the daughters and he, I think, it might have been only he, survived. And so I was as the story broke, I was talking about it. I said, oh, let me guess. These are choir boys who just had a bad afternoon. Oh, probably not. These guys will be lifetime criminals who slowly but surely escalated their level of violence until now three people are dead. And so I said, you know, in the fictitious land of McNamara, where I am king, I would have a tiered justice system, okay? So the tier would be this. And I'll relate this to Trey. I'll relate this to Trey in a second. So here's how my justice system worked. If you're a predator and you behave like a predator among other humans, then we treat you like a predator. And what do we do to predators, predatory animals? We put them down, so you would be put down. Okay, you're not a human. You're an animal. And so if you behave like an animal, then you get animal justice. So, you know, it would be harsh because you're not a human. Now, I know people get confused because you have a human form, but what makes you a human is your ability to do reflective self-thought, okay, to think about your actions. That's what makes you different from everything else. So we make the mistake that says everybody does that. So predators don't do that. At the end of the day, they prey on other people. And so when you're not able to behave like a human, we don't get confused because you're in a human form. We know what you are. You're an animal. And so people band together for their own security. And so not only from natural animals that are predators, but from human animals that are predators. And so we would treat you accordingly. So you would go into the justice program for animals and predators, okay? And we would deal with you there. If you commit crimes that, you know, that are not predatory in nature, you know, drug related, you know, where you're not acting, you know, like a complete predator, you know, you're making mistakes, and you would test into the human justice. So you would get human justice. I kind of propose this same concept be applied to the same concept be applied to trade. Okay, here in the United States, we have things like the Food and Drug Administration. We have things like the EPA. We have things like OSHA. We have things like Social Security and things like disability. All those things impact our producers. Because we believe here in the United States, that's the way to run a country, Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at your economy, and we're going to negotiate with you as either a developed country that has all these things or an undeveloped country that doesn't have any of these things. And in that case, that competition isn't going to be fair. Because guess what? If Ford moves its factory to your country and you don't have any of this, so none of the legislation that a mature nation would have that ensures the rights of its workers, their right to be safe, the right, you know, the responsibility of the producer to protect the environment so it doesn't poison other people like we have at Camp Lejeune and other places around the country. To the extent that you don't have this stuff, we're going to levy tariffs on you, okay? And those tariffs are designed to encourage you to develop these things. And once you have these in place, we'll begin to scale them back. But what we want to do is we want to allow you access to the American market, but we're not stupid. Okay? And so this notion of globalization, I stand up a factory on an island in the Pacific and I pollute the hell out of it and I pay slave wages. Oh, you mean like China does? Hey, let's not make it personal. And then you're allowed to import and export to the United States. And that's what quote-unquote globalization is. And you put American workers out of business because now I'm going to transfer my production facility there. What a great idea. So this whole notion of globalization, I don't get. I want somebody to explain it to me, because what's left for the American high school educated worker? What's left for them? To clean? To work at a service center for a cell phone company? What's left for them? To be a driver? Well, that's going to come to a screeching halt here in a few years. Or do we then become a social welfare state and do what the city of Stockton's proposing, is that everybody that lives there gets an income of $29,000. Let me ask you this. Do you think that'll be enough after a few years? Answer, no. So I think it's very curious, the economic construct of the world that was put together after World War II. The United States as the guarantor of freedom. The United States as the bankroller of democracy. And now what happens if the United States says, okay, we've been doing this for, what, going on 75 years after the start of World War II. Okay? Actually, coming close to 80 here in the next 5 years, right? So how about we have a discussion of we flatten this table a little bit and you all taking some of your spending, allocating it to your own defense. There's going to be other spending that you have that's going to have to, you're going to lose some money. Because this trade relationship needs to evolve to reflect your evolution. So, anyway, I have some footnotes to work out in all of that. But that's why I found the G7. And if you notice, you know, Mr. Trudeau didn't say anything about the 260% tariff on American dairy farmers. He didn't say anything about that. Oh, well. NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. How did that get exempted from NAFTA? And so you look at these things and these agreements and you're like, okay, so how does that make sense? How does this make sense? So we're exporting factories to Mexico. What are we getting? Are toilet paper and soccer balls cheaper? You know, my Palmolive soap, 45 cents cheaper. That's what we're getting. And the American, and we continue to export jobs that used to support families. So, and then there's still countries still put up their own barriers to us. I don't know if I don't understand our economy. I think I'm smarter than the average bear. And so I thought it was really interesting over the weekend. And so we'll see. And the way Donald Trump tends to do it, and I don't know anything about the chaos theory, okay? But I know people like this. Secretary Mattis is like this to a certain extent. They're not afraid to walk in and tip over the table at the market and create a little bit of havoc. And they see that as not a bad thing. Because they see that the right people will seize leadership. The people that have been looking to evolve this arcane situation will come to the forefront and then will evolve it. So pretty interesting stuff, in my opinion, going on domestically. And then I think there's a whole group of people watching the economy that are going, wait a minute. I don't really understand this whole concept of being conservative. What is this, right? What is going on with the economy that we're seeing historic low rates and unemployment in these areas? Okay. Yeah, I know Trump's a douchebag. Okay. But the economy is going like I've never seen it go in my lifetime as a young adult. What is this concept of capitalism? Oh, yeah, it's where you don't regulate the living hell out of your business and force it overseas. Oh. Like, could you explain that to me? Yeah, I could explain it to you. So, anyway, so it's a pretty historic couple weeks, I think, here. And the president and what do we call Kim? Dictator Kim? Chairman Kim? That was Chairman Mao. Anyway, they're both in Singapore. Singapore's normally a pretty uptight place, right? You get the brief before you go to Singapore. Okay, don't step on their money. They take that as an insult. What? Like if I'm getting a beer and I drop a bunch of quarters, I can't like, and they're rolling around, I can't step on it and then pick it up? No, walk after it, pick it up. Okay. Slowest motorcade I've ever seen in my life is proceeding in Seoul. Yep. Unbelievable. Late night tour evidently going on. I don't know what we call the guy. Kim. I wonder if Dennis Rodman's hanging out with him. And then the president flew there after he left Canada and the G7. So we'll see. This is North Korea's moment. What will they do? Will he sit there and lay out a plan, a vision for North Korea that says, okay, Mr. Trump, here's what I want. Here's what I want. I'm willing to go through a phased denuclearization in exchange for the following. This is what I want. Okay, the first step is no more testing. In exchange for this, 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 and this. Okay. Phase two, the commencement of inspections to make sure that it's verifiable, that we're not testing. Phase three, we'll negotiate in the future, but it would be the elimination of my nuclear weapons in exchange for the removal of your troops from the Korean Peninsula. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. As my nuclear weapons threaten you, then your ground forces threaten me. Legitimate point. Counterpoint. Until I can't do that, because your conventional threat to Seoul is tantamount to a nuclear threat. So, I'm willing to negotiate that. I'm willing to negotiate that. But you have got to either extend the DMZ further north, and in that area, there can be no conventional rockets or artillery. And that has to be verifiable. And if you pull back your troops, and not and don't threaten South Korea, then I can pull mine back.
Whoa.
So I mean, it's what will he say? What will he say? Or will he make it so reasonable that this is all a fool's errand designed to get him international media attention in order to make him something that he's not? And trust me, if he does that and then we apply additional sanctions to include blockading, life will get very interesting. Life will get very interesting in the northwest corner of the Pacific Ocean. So what is his agenda? He's a young guy, educated in Switzerland. He goes and he sees his country fertilizing agriculture with human feces. The way his, you know, and what we know is a horrible existence. Has he been for years looking and saying, how do I consolidate power in my country and then do something with this? Get my nation out of the squalor that it squats in on a daily basis? Is he that guy, or is he the goofball that we thought he was? So I guess we're gonna find out here in the next 24 hours. It'll be tonight Pacific time. So with all that said, so again, big stuff going on the world stage. The United States, somebody has to explain to me this notion of globalization. No tariffs, right? So it goes to the lowest bidder. That's how it works, always. I just don't, the world doesn't work like that. And I put my domestic workforce out of business for your underdeveloped country and allow you free access, throw my car manufacturers out of business, throw my tire manufacturers out of business, and we're all okay with that. My jobs go to your country. And you don't have any of these things in place that allow my companies to compete with your companies. They will, it's a non-competitive event. Literally. No Food and Drug Administration. No Environmental Protection Agency. No OSHA in your factories. No Social Security and no disability. Those companies are subject to none of that, and we're going to call that fair trade. So that is what globalization is? Interesting. Interesting when your national security isn't wrapped up in your economic security, in the future of your workforce, the stabilization of your workforce, and the growth of your workforce in jobs that support families. Okay? Because what tends to be created at the high end, right? Technological jobs, finance jobs, okay, science jobs, math jobs, okay, at the low end, and in the middle's gone away. At the low end, you're in the service sector. So is that the way it is? Interesting. All right, so with all that said, we have some research we have to do. So, good morning to you on something that may or may not be a historic week. It'll be certainly an interesting fanfare. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning. this is dedicated to the events in Singapore. And with our fingers crossed, hoping that the world becomes a little bit safer, specifically the United States becomes a little bit safer, and the menaces that we see that that hover near us at times are made less menacing. So, good luck, boys. Don't screw it up.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear, as hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by the by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it, and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
All right, we'll check the weather in Marineland on this possible week of historic history. I had to sneeze. Sorry about that. Clouds in 63 in Quantico. Clouds in 82 at Camp Lejeune. Cloudy and 84 in Granbury, Texas right now. Clouds in 47 in Big Timber, Montana. Sunny in 75, so warming up in 29 Palms. It's been kind of unseasonably mild in 29 Palms. Yeah, for instance, if you look at the weather for today, you would expect, you're right, June 11th. Forecast for 29 Palms, you would expect it easily to be, you know, 110. It's barely going to get to 100. So, yeah, so that's cool. That's cool. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 69. Okinawa, cloudy, dark, and 78. So Okinawa's cooled off a little bit in the Pacific. Mars is 101 late in the day. There's a pollen alert out in Helmand. Looking for a low overnight tonight of 81 degrees. On Tuesday, sunny with a high of 111. Wednesday, sunny and a high of 113. But it's a dry 113, so don't worry about it. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. We'll check some news headlines. A lot of stuff going on. More of All Marine Radio on a Monday. Grant Newsham coming up at the top of the hour. So don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the boy.
Good morning, Mac. How's the gunner doing? Just checking. I don't know. You know, I didn't hear from any of the ass clowns all weekend. It's quiet. Yeah. Ass clown tack one was quiet. I've got to read you. I'll read you a couple emails. One from the weekend. This is awesome. It's an awesome email. I'll change names to protect the innocent, but it's a cool email. Here's one from, Ohio man. Mom and two daughters died by fire while the police had the house surrounded. The perps had followed the mom and youngest daughter home from the grocery store. They came back later that night, stormed the house, beat the shit out of the dad with a baseball bat, tied up the women, and started raping. The next morning, one took mom to the bank to withdraw money. I think she was a manager there. She alerted the teller, who called the cops, and then surrounded the house. The perps then doused the women with gasoline in the bedroom and torched them, knowing the cops were outside. Dad regained consciousness and managed to get outside. All three women died. The daughters were 17 and 13, I believe. Pure evil. Bring back public hanging. Yeah, so anyway, I'll complete that little story that I told. So on the air, when I mused about this, you know, let me guess, these guys are choir boys that had a bad afternoon. Oh no, these are predators in our midst. And I said, were I the king, and this happened, I would get my pickup truck and I'd drive out to the house. I'd talk to my police chief and I'd say, let me know when you know who did this. Well, we have these two guys in custody. Yeah, I know. But can you tell me unequivocally that they were responsible for this? Unequivocally. He said, well, we're still putting together all the evidence, but. I said, okay, when you can eliminate the but, I'll be sitting here on the tailgate of my pickup truck. So I'd wait. And so pretty soon later on, after a few hours, police chief comes over and he says, hey, sire. I said, yeah, what's up? And he says, beyond any doubt, they did it. I'd say, okay, take them to the backyard. And then I just shoot them both in the head. So I said this on the radio. Guy calls up the judge in the case and said that I was inciting vigilantism. So they moved the trial. I never got a phone call from the judge asking me what I had said. He just moved it, which I thought was odd. He didn't even attempt to clarify or anything like that, what the context of the remarks were, whatnot. But, you know, again, can you imagine? But see, and this was my larger point, and I'll link it to trade. Their rights as criminals trump your rights as non-criminal, peaceful living, productive Americans. Okay? Because these predators don't go to jail with this admonition. All right, you're going to go to jail for 6 years. Okay? You have to complete this program, and this program. If you don't successfully complete those programs, you'll stay in prison. Got it? But what happens is they go there and they don't participate. And when their time's up, their time's up, and they get let out. What are they? They're worse criminals than they were when they went in. They're more violent. They're more angry. And they come back, and they do this shit. Why does their right to be free trump your right to be safe? In McNamara, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. But we do this shit all the time. Their rights trump your rights, right? You know, town has a hearing. Violent sex offender moving into your neighborhood. Hey, we have the police get up there and notify everybody, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he's going to live there. Really? Why don't we send him someplace? Why don't we make him go away, put him on an island? Oh, well, they've got rights. And then it happens again. So, it's this concept, well, he's a victim too. Of what? Of what? There's all kinds of people that have worse shit that happened than that happened to that kid growing up. There's all kinds of people that turn out to be productive people. So why does he get a pass to be a predator? Hey, look, and just like globalization. Oh, globalization, yeah. We're going to do away with national anthems and we're all going to sing the Coke song together, holding hands. Probably not. So, I just don't get it. So, yeah, that's the rest of the story relative to the Connecticut case. Yeah, it's bullshit. And this guy, Alfonso Rodriguez, is still in federal prison because it was a federal crime. He killed her in North Dakota, and then he took her across the river. That's right. Boom. Cross straight line, state lines. Big mistake. North Dakota, if you can believe this, doesn't have the death penalty. Never understood that. But they don't. But the feds do. Son of a bitch is still up in North Dakota. Appealing and whatnot. You know, whatever bullshit he can do to try to get out of his sentence.
Yeah.
And you're paying for it. He is a piece of shit. He's a predatory piece of shit who first, you know, beat a woman. Next time he pulled a knife and stabbed one. And it was all against women. It's just, you know, again. But remember, his right. Hey, he did his time. Well, he didn't participate in any, and he didn't participate in any offender treatment programs. He didn't successfully complete shit. Oh, and the DA of Crookston County didn't come and tell us that we shouldn't release him. Did you contact him? Well, no, it's on him to come to us. So, and it turned into a huge shit storm in Minnesota. So wait a minute, you got ready to have your hearing. You look at this guy. He is at this time a four-time violent offender that you're going to release that's never admitted that he has a problem or participated in any kind of rehabilitation program. That would be correct. And so you got him, and so the onus is on the DA to know when this hearing is to show up to it and say you need to keep him incarcerated. Yes. And when the week before, did you contact the DA? Did somebody have a phone call and say this guy's a violent guy? Well, no, that's on them. Oh, so what does the DA say? Well, the DA was quoted in the paper saying, we didn't know about it. And she's dead because they didn't know about it and you didn't call them. Whose responsibility is this shit? And so then what happened was they all went to ground. Nobody would be interviewed. Nobody would say anything about it. Our criminal justice system at work. So it just gets, it's disgusting. But again, and I'll link this to trade. Their rights to enjoy the freedom that American military, the American military provides, financed by the taxpayers of the United States, as well as preferential treatment in treaties to keep their economy stable and vibrant, that's their right. You don't have any right to tweak that. You don't have any right to tell them that they should contribute to the collective defense. Who the fuck are you? Right? And for decades, presidents went there and wrung their hands, and then they posed for the picture, and they didn't put people on notice and say, no, you got to do this, man. There's only one reason Putin's acting like an ass, because he thinks he can exploit us. But if we all had formidable militaries, guess what he would know? He would know in his heart of hearts. So like it's frustrating. Frustrating. Same thing with, you know, so you're right to use all that money for social programs and other bullshit trumps the American taxpayers' right to be treated fairly economically and for you to help provide for the collective defense. Yes? Yeah, that would be the case. Okay, just so I got it clear in my head. Let me read you an email I got. This is from a Marine who listens to All Marine Radio. Started listening, I don't know, a year plus ago. Stationed at Camp Pendleton, right? And then went back to the basic school to go through a course, okay? And he was making me smart about SATCOM, and I'll share that with you here one of these days. So he's making me smart about SATCOM, and once the satellites get bumped, then what? So then I said, hey, thanks, man, I appreciate it. He said, yeah, no, I was just listening, cause his background's in COM, and he said, and we have some stuff, that obviously you don't understand or know about, so I just want to make you smart. And so I thanked him, and he said, hey, just returning the favor. No bullshit. And this is the email. No bullshit. I was way ahead of the game at the basic school because of All Marine Radio. I think that's why I got on the CG's honor roll. I just regurgitated shit I learned from your show and your guest. when I was in leadership billets and I had to counsel a warrant officer on their performance or lack of performance, I wrote down on the counseling form to listen to All Marine Radio as corrective action. The ones who did thank me later. Is that awesome? That's exactly what I had hoped this would become, a form that Marines listen to that makes them smarter on a variety of different issues. So pretty cool email. Let me get just to a few headlines here. Obviously, everybody knows what the number one headline is if you have a pulse. The Marine Corps is weighing, it's already weighed, okay? Now they're just socializing the idea of bringing on older human beings into the Marine Corps, and I don't think these people are going to have to go through boot camp. And what they're trying to do is create this cadre of cyber warriors. Quote, it's going to be a Marine Corps that's a little bit older, a little bit more experienced, because as much as we love our young Marines, we need a little bit older because it takes longer to learn these skills. And so we're an organization looking at the whole way we do business, and it's going to change our culture. Interesting. So anyway, so the Marine Corps is evolving. All right, I'm going to take a break because Grant Newsham's coming. That's one story. Unorthodox Trump faces toughest test yet in North Korea. General Dunford had meetings with his Russian counterpart in Finland. Sad news is the Pentagon identified a special operations soldier killed in Somalia. I would tell you that those who plot to kill Americans and fight Americans are constantly monitoring our operations in Africa, and they're looking for unsupported special operations units that they can ambush so they can kill Americans, because they know it makes front page news here in the United States. They know that is our critical vulnerability. Absolutely, positively know it. Our thoughts and prayers obviously go out to his family. Air Force captures a deserter 35 years after he disappeared. Had a top secret clearance. He was a captain. William Howard Hughes. Yikes. Was captured after hiding in California for 35 years under a fake identity. DOD explains what's being done about water contamination on bases, if this doesn't make you feel good. There's a dude in the picture. He's got a mask on and gloves. Wait a minute. Isn't he just holding water? Like, is that necessary? If it is, holy shit. Right? And he's got a water sample. Yikes. U.S. says it will intensify the fight against ISIS in Afghanistan. So just before the truce that the Afghan government announced. So that going on today. The top five stories in early board Air Force and high stakes debate over HIV prevention drug for pilots. I'm not sure. The DOD experimenting with me relative to vaccination. Sorry, maybe not. Pentagon identifies special operations soldier killed in Somalia. 3, does Hezbollah's electoral victory spell the end of Lebanon's U.S. military aid? Lebanon, Turkey, leaning towards Iran, not a good thing. 4, how NATO defends against the dark side of the web. And 5, the DOD explains what's being done about water contamination. That is a huge story. I mean, if you recall, we had a guy, the first name is Jerry, on talking about the death of his daughter, who was born at Camp Lejeune, and the fact that the Department of Defense had only recently authorize treatment for a whole series of sicknesses based on if you were stationed at Camp Lejeune and drank the water. Yeah. And that was huge. And there was the reason that they couldn't do more was because the number of cases is so huge that it would break the government, depending on, you know, who gets benefits and who sues and all that kind of stuff. So anyway. All right, so we're going to take a break. I'll get Grant Newsham. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on this Monday, possibly a historic week here in the United States and around the world.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.